fell in love with it. There was something so deeply authentic about it. The call to strip away all that didn't matter. A season of opportunity to bare my soul and connect with what really matters in life. It was a day that we gathered to express a deep truth, and that was somehow comforting to me then. I looked forward to celebrating Ash Wednesday as a priest, but when the time came, it was very different than I expected. I learned that I was celebrating shortly before the service, so I didn't have much time to really reflect on the liturgy before I was suddenly in the midst of it. When I stood over the ashes to say the words of blessing, I was suddenly caught up short. Just over a year before that, my dad had been killed in a car accident, and one of the most powerful memories of that time was unpacking his charred things that were salvaged from his exploded car. As I stood over those ashes on Ash Wednesday, I was all too aware that someone full of life could become as lifeless as those ashes in only a split second. I suddenly wondered why on earth we were gathering to do such a thing. Why were we blessing these lifeless ashes that all of us, so alive now, will one day become? Why do we come together around something so frankly depressing? Ash Wednesday has never been the same for me again. On this day, I'm all too aware of those of us who have returned to the dust, those who were so recently among us and are gone too soon. Marking ashes from babies in their parents' arms to people closer to death than I am ready to accept, and saying, "Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return," to friends and people I've come to love, and now including my husband, is a harder thing than I ever could have imagined. Yet, year after year, I return. We return here to this place. Sometimes we return because we need hope that there is more than those ashes which we recently saw loved ones return to. And sometimes we return because we have allowed other things to consume our attention and passion and love, and we need to be reminded to reflect again, as Mary Oliver says, what you plan to do with your one wild and precious life. The journey we embark on today is about life, and sometimes we need to be reminded that we are fragile and frail beings whose time is limited in this one wild, precious life. We often put our focus on practices for Lent, these 40 days of reflection and repentance in preparation for Easter. But those practices are always and entirely for the purpose of changing our lives, making us live more and more in line with the way God intends. Our scripture passages for today give us guidance on this journey, offering ancient, timeless truth that seems incredibly relevant today. Our gospel passage begins, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them." The word that is translated piety here is used a lot throughout the teaching of Jesus, especially in Matthew. But unfortunately, the word piety has come to be associated for us with personal spirituality. But the word really means justice or righteousness or fair and equitable dealing. These words come just after the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, just after instructions to do justice, to be merciful, to be salt and light in the world, to see men and women with dignity instead of looking at them in lust, to resist evil creatively and without violence, to have integrity and to be true to your word, to love our enemies. So Jesus really says, after all of that, "Beware of practicing your justice before others in order to be seen by them." Notice Jesus is not instructing us here to do justice. He is not saying to do that because it is assumed. He has just described how we are to care for others and the world around us, what we are to do to make this world more and more like the world God intends. If we are Christ followers, this is the way we are to live. Doing justice, loving mercy, seeking peace and the dignity of all people, it is assumed that we are working to live this way. Here, though, Jesus is giving instructions about why we do those things, instructing us to examine our motives. Are we doing what we are called to do because it draws us closer to God? Or are we doing those things for our own gain? Are we doing them because we love and care for others as God does? Or are we doing them to be seen as kind and good? These are the questions we are to be asking this season. I'll be honest, I struggle with this every day. I long to draw close to God, but no matter how much I wish it were not true, I care deeply how others see me. I can analyze the reasons all day, from growing up as a female in the South with the expectations to be a sweet, caring lady, to being a priest with its traditional expectations to be compassionate, knowledgeable, with fatherly gravitas. These expectations swim in my head all the time, and they certainly affect what I do, even and especially things that are otherwise right and good to do. Our passage from Isaiah, though, today gives me hope. I'm not alone in my struggle. I'm not the first, and I certainly will not be the last. In this passage, the people of God were diligently following their spiritual practices. Just like we come to church, share in the Eucharist, spend time in prayer, give up things for Lent. But throughout all of their practices, the people feel God is not listening, not noticing their seeking. But in the passage, God points out that while they fast, they oppress those who work for them. They fight amongst themselves. And even just humbling themselves is not enough. That's really important for us to remember here today as we gather around our own ashes. It is true that we are mortal, frail and fragile beings who have come from dust and will one day return to it. But sometimes we limit Ash Wednesday to this recognition, and that is not what God desires then or now. It is important to remember who we are, children created by God. God does not desire us to come here today to grovel or sit in shame or to think that we are worthless. We come here to remember who we are as children of God because we are not God ourselves, and that is good news. We are not alone at the center of our own created universe. God calls us to remember who we are because God has work for us to do. Because God has made us to be co-creators in the world of justice and peace and love that God is bringing among us. The problem is not the practices in question or fasting in this instance. The problem is that the practice is not actually changing the life of the people, not actually drawing them farther into the life of God. But God's words for the people of Israel then and for us today are not to shame them or make them wallow in their guilt, because there is nothing we can do to make God stop longing for a relationship with us. God tells them, "Is not this the fast I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin." And if the people will do this, if they will change their lives and return to God with God's ways, then God says, "Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, 'Here I am.'" No matter what the people have done, no matter how empty their prayers or fasting have been, no matter how they had perverted justice or ignored the needs of those around them, God has not given up on them. And God has not given up on us either. God actually believes that we are capable of change, of growth, of turning our life around, which is what repentance, what we're called to in this season, it is what it really means. I think it's sometimes easier to believe this about ourselves than about others than ourselves. I know how many times I have longed to change and failed, and it's hard to find the energy to believe and hope again. But the God who created us knows us better than we know ourselves, and God knows that we can change. And our call in this season is to turn again our hearts towards God and to take time intentionally to begin the process of becoming more of the people God made us to be. And we would miss something important here if we focused only on individual change and repentance in this season. God's words in Isaiah are directed to a whole people, and for us today as well, as a church, as a community, as a nation. The people of Israel, like us so often, likes to think of the past as a day when things were better, when life seemed easier and simpler, when they did not question if God was among them. But now the things they used to do, which they thought brought them closer to God, they are doing and they still could not return to the glory of the past. And God tells them that those practices alone were never what God wanted from them. God longed for them to create a community, a society that reflected the world God created them for, a world where bread and wine is shared among everyone, where all have their needs met and all are treated with dignity and love. As beautiful as those words are, they must have been crazy to people then, and they're still pretty hard to believe now. Out of a people who were fighting each other, unable to be honest with their family and ignoring the needs of the afflicted, God sees the potential for the kingdom of God. God looks at a people who are fighting with each other, who are unable to be honest with their family, and sees the repairer of the breach. God looks at a community where the unmet needs of people leaves them dying in the streets, and sees the possibility of a community known as the restorer of streets to live in. God looks at ruins and sees the possibility of a kingdom. God looks at dust and ashes, and God sees life. And should we not be surprised? For this has been our story from the beginning, has it not? In the beginning, we are told that it is dust God takes from the ground and forms into a human. Into that dust, God breathed the breath of life. Out of dust, God creates life. Life in the very image of God, made of dust breathed into life by the spirit of the very being of light and life itself. Today we remember that we are dust because it was dust that God breathed into life. And our story goes on. Our God entered the world with a body formed of dust, and when the worst of our own sin and brokenness tortured the life right out of that body, when evil tried to make dust and ashes the end of the story, it could not be. The life that was breathed into the dust could not be contained, could not be destroyed. Today we remember that to dust we shall return, because we know that it is out of death that God brings new life. We remember that we are dust, because it is from dust that God creates life. And remember that to dust we shall return, because we know that no matter what pain and brokenness we face in this life, no matter what finally returns us to ashes, it cannot and will not ever destroy the life that God has breathed into us. We remember that to dust we shall return, because there are parts of us that are dead and dying. There are parts of this community and nation and world where we have all but given up hope. And today we remember that those are the exact places that God always has and always will bring new life. In the words of a poet, "So let us be marked not for sorrow, and let us be marked not for shame. Let us be marked not for false humility or for thinking we are less than we are, but for claiming what God can do within the dust, within the dirt, within the stuff of which this world is made, and the stars that blaze in our bones, and the galaxies that spiral inside that smudge we bear." In this season of Lent, may we all seek to find what God can do within the dust. Because we know where this Lenten journey will lead us, just as we know where this life will lead us. We We have come from God, and we will spend forever in that eternal fellowship that is the very being of God. We are held together by God, and there is nothing that will ever separate us from the love of God, nothing that will ever overcome the light of God, nothing that will ever take away the life of God that has been breathed into this sacred dust from which we come and to which we will return. So today, let us gather again and proclaim that good news, that we are dust, and to dust we shall return.